Okay, we are in lesson number two of the Heavens Declare His Glory. And what you are looking at is you're looking at a picture of the 12 constellations in the heavens. And I mentioned before we started the recorder here that this is such a fascinating thing to some people, and I'm one of those people, because to recognize, as we understand the operation, what little we can understand of our solar system, even down to the star Bethlehem, and how precise and how long ago this plan had to be put in action to have the planets and everything align with God's word. And then he told us that there would be signs in the heavens when he returns. And we covered a lot of this in lesson one. But we see where these 12 constellations were the first Bible. And I'm going to mention it again. The first Bible was not written until about 2,500 and some years after Adam was created. And therefore, whenever many times I thought, you know, well, wow, people lived to be old in the Old Testament. And then on further growing in knowledge, I found out that's not true at all. That there were 10 Zadokim, or 10 righteous men. And these men lived to be of great age because they were the walking repositories of the Word of God. And if you'll remember, today we are celebrating, today is Pentecost 2014. I'll date this lesson. And this is the day that 2,000 years ago, on a Sunday, God restored what Adam lost, and that was the Spirit of God. When he breathed into Adam's nostrils, that was the Ruach, the Spirit of God. And then, of course, when Adam fell into sin, that Spirit departed and the illumination went out. He saw his nakedness. So 2,000 years ago, God comes back as a mighty rushing wind, and he once again makes available to whosoever will. And what we see is that when God created Adam, that Adam and God would walk, the Bible tells us, in the cool of the evening, maybe other times also. And so God expressed to Adam, which was handed down, actually this is in the writings of Josephus, not making this stuff up, that it was handed down that they know of all the way to Moses to understand the star signs and, of course, beyond. So what we're going to look at today, the first of the 12 constellations we looked at, of course, those of you that do not know, God had 12 tribes, he had 12 apostles, 12 numbers on a clock. The 12 tribes' signs, their ensign, the ensign meant their flag. They were the signs of the constellation. And before the lesson's over, I will give you what each tribe represents. And then as you grow in your insight of how the Bible is based around the creative work of God in the heavens, when you get to the book of Revelations, and you begin to look at the beasts, the four beasts around the throne, well, actually then when you can plug into what each of those animals represent in the constellations, and then heaven's going to come from the north, there's just a lot of things. God's put it all in the book. You just keep studying. You can begin to put things together to where you can know a whole lot. Okay, so with that, Vicki, thanks for doing the screen again today. Hopefully next week you won't have to do that. Okay, so does God's word involve star signs and other heavenly pictures? Well, here in lesson two on the Heavens Declare His Glory, we're starting Revelation chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 1-3. What I'm wanting you to see is there's many, many scriptures that I could pull out, but I'm wanting you to understand that this lesson is pretty fundamental to allow your faith to grow, to recognize that this manuscript isn't just written in the language of the five foundations that we teach, that you can go to on our website under five foundations, but it's also another fundamental foundation, and that is the stars in the heavens, the planetary, the solar system, the an amazing thing, Andromeda, I believe it is our closest galaxy. It's moving towards us at about 160 miles per second. It won't be here for another 1.5 million years, but here's one of the scientific facts that you will not hear. Everything in the universe is moving away from us, so to speak. We'll get an occasional comet. But this constellation that's headed towards us, this other solar system, is headed straight towards us while everything else is going away. And I think I just mentioned to you that as we look at these constellations, these 12 constellations, that God so perfectly timed them that when Christ walked the earth, and still to this day, it was the age of Pisces, the fish, the fishes. It's when the church starts. We are closing that out, and we are now moving towards the dawning of the age of Aquarius. And that will begin here probably at the return of the Lord, and that is the water bearer. That is he that's going to pour out the living water on all the earth, and we will be in that thousand-year reign of Christ. So without going any further into that, when we look at Revelations chapter 12, I'm trying to give you the thought process that as you study your Bible, you're going to find things that allude to the heavens. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. Okay, that would be Bethula. Clothed with the sun and the moon. Moon represents the church. Under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's the constellation Bernice. And she being filled with child cried, travailing at birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. That's Draco. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. So we're going to see that throughout from Genesis to Revelations, the heavens are referred to. And so what a portion of Huffman Church's ministry has been, number one, our ministry is to see the sinner saved. Number two, it's to see the saved turned into mature saints. But it is also to restore that has been lost. We have seen many gimmicks go through the church, but the reason that God actually has restored the spirit to man is that it would lead and guide us into all truth. And you will hear me make the statement, until I brainwash you, which is my purpose, there is no new revelation. You need to flee from anyone that has new revelation. There is original understanding. The revelations are all over. So we are endeavoring to understand the original meaning of Scripture. Now, don't misinterpret that. I mean, we still have dreams, we still have visions. But if they do not align with manuscript, then it was pizza or something else you ate in the middle of the night. All right. So, in Matthew chapter 2, if that's a question, I'll get with you at the end. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And, of course, we found out that these wise men actually were stargazers. They were astrologers. And we can trace back and see where Daniel, 700 years prior to this statement approximately, that he was made the head astronomer over Baghdad or over Iran, over Babylon. Thank you. And so what he did is he taught to them the secret of the heavens, and these wise men that came from the east actually were the astronomers, the stargazers, the experts of the heavens. And probably it says the east, which would have been where Daniel would have taught them. And they already knew the story of the sign, and that's why they come and they say, what do they say? They say, they come to Herod, they say, for we saw his star. Well, there's absolutely no other way they would know about the star of the Redeemer. So I could give you a lot more factual things. That's not my purpose in this lesson. So in Genesis chapter 9, verse 13 through 14, I just wanted to point out, your Bible points out that even the heavens announced the birth of Jesus Christ, okay? In Genesis chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, what do we see? Well, we see the first covenant is sealed with a sign in the heavens. I do set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. It will come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I could get into that rainbow. That's an amazing thing. There are 7 primary colors. There are 7 octaves in a musical scale. There are 7 seas. There are 7 continents. God's 7. What a bunch of coincidences when you understand the number of God. So what I'm trying to do with people is get their eyes open and get them off sports and sex for a while, which are the 2 major topics in America, and let them understand that the creative power of God is everywhere we look. In Joel chapter 2, verse 30 through 32, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. So, once again, look up your redemption draweth nigh. Now, we are not teaching you to read the horoscope. So anyone that thinks that's where we're headed, wrong-o, okay? We're teaching you to study, to look at the heavens and to get godly knowledge or scientific knowledge, not fables or futuristic readings from them. Amos 5 and 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Now, I can explain that whole scripture right there with the star signs. And what I'm trying to express is many scriptures will be like that. Because, once again, the only Bible they had for the first 2,600 years was the heavens. Therefore, God made this lunar calendar. He knew what man would do. The Bible tells us that the first thing the spirit of the Antichrist would do in the book of Daniel would be to change mu'eds, times and seasons. Therefore, we all in this room and everyone listening, we're living by a heathen calendar. We're not living by the original thing. And that's why I at least try to teach it so you can be knowledgeable of it. But also, God knew we couldn't change the star signs, we couldn't change the elliptical orbits of the stars, the sun, the moon, and the earth. So he ties everything to this because man's changed everything else. And so as you go back to this understanding, the word's tied to this. All right. According to Jewish historian Josephus, Adam, Seth, and Enoch were taught the star signs of heaven by the Creator, by God himself. And so we go back 2,000 years and find writings then that tell us of this. The fifth constellation, which will be where we left off, in lesson one, this fifth constellation that we're going to look at today is called Capricornus. Now, we have learned in lesson one that there are 12 different constellations, and each of these constellations has a major star picture, which is where the constellation will get its name from. But then they have three minor pictures, which they call D-E-C-A-N. I don't know if it's pecan or pecan. So I call it deacons, okay? They have each of these star signs has the major name of that constellation. Then within that constellation, there are three more pictures that we call the deacons, D-E-C-A-N. And these pictures align to help make a clearer picture of the larger star sign. Now, we mentioned to you that it's interesting that we being priests that God gave, so this makes 48 pictures. There are 48 cities that were given to the priests in the Old Testament. So this fifth constellation, Capricornus, as you are getting the pleasure of looking at the drawing of the star sign in the heavens, it is the picture of a dying goat. The goat is laying on the ground. It has its paw tucked under it. It is more or less falling. It is in the throes of death and dying. But it has a very vigorous living tail. So it is a goat that is half goat and half fish. Now, I'm going to express this again. Many understandings they had then have been lost, but we can still glean a lot out of this. Because out of the dying goat comes forth a living fish. The sign of the Jews in the early church was fish. And that's where today we see the emblem for Christians many times as a fish. But the fish could not live until the goat died. Now, immediately, we should recognize any time we have a picture of the ram caught in the thicket, the goat, immediately our mind goes to one of the five foundations that I teach so you can understand what the Bible says, and that is that of the feasts of the Lord. And so immediately I understand when I look at the goat, I am speaking of one particular feast. It is the highest holy day of the year. It is the Day of Atonement. Because it is that day that the goat must die and its blood be shed, that my sins be washed away, that I might live. And this is exactly what this is showing. It is showing the dying goat that brings forth life and is referred to as a fish, so to speak. So, in Hebrew, it is called Gadai, meaning a goat, also means cut off. And it's a picture, as I said, of the Day of Atonement and life coming forth out of death. You'll find this in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 16 through 17. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering. Behold, it was burnt. And you can read the rest of this. And I've already mentioned the early Christian sign for Christ and believers was a fish. And note that the goat and the fish are one. Because the goat dies, the fish can live. Now, without getting into doctrine here, you're going to notice that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm going to throw something at you just to be thought-provoking. He's the same in that He's continually changing. Whenever He shows up at after the resurrection, the Bible says they don't even recognize Him. This is in the Gospel of Mark. Why? Because He took upon Himself a different form, F-O-R-M. And when you see Him in the throne, the one throne in heaven, as He sits there, He takes on many images. But He's just one. And so what we see, the goat and the fish are one. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the King of Kings. He's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the Alpha and Omega. Everything that was and is. For by Him all things created exist that are made. He is before all things. He's the head of the church. He's everything. But He takes on different images. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whenever He spoke, the God that lived in Him in the Old Testament at Moses, He just says, I am. And Jesus turns around and He says to the Roman soldiers when they come to get Him, oh, you're coming for the suffering servant. But He says, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus. And He responds, I am. And that sound knocks them over. So He is an amazing creation. All right. So three of the brightest stars, Al-Gadai is the kid goat. Deneb Al-Gadai is the sacrifice cometh. Ma'asad means the slaying. And this goat that was made sin for us because He was slain, that we may rise in the newness of life. The first deacon is Sagittah, which means the arrow. Now, we can go into Psalms chapter 38 and 2. I haven't taught on warfare. I've never completed the series. Warfare is an interesting thing because as we enter into the Bronze Age and then as we study weaponry, it's actually an awesome lesson that God's trying to teach us about us overcoming darkness. And as we have moved into a greater period of knowledge, it is that is natural and then the spiritual. And the weapons of the enemy have intensified. So God has... So a bow and arrow back then was... A bow was the greatest weapon at that point in time. It was greater than a spear because I could shoot it further than I could throw a spear. It was greater than a sword because I didn't have to have hand-to-hand combat. So God just simply uses the most powerful weapon that they had at that time in the star signs to express to them. It was the arrow of God, the wrath of God. And what did it do? God's wrath lets loose, hitting its target. And what's it hit? Well, it's going to hit the eagle. And that is the second decon. Aquila means the eagle, and it is falling. Because what we see is the wrath of God. And in this third set of pictures of these four constellations, it's going to deal with this portion of the virgin came forth, the water pourer was on his way. Now we're into the story of he's got to become our sin offering, the one that appeases the wrath of God. And then we'll get to the last of the star signs, and it will be where he becomes victorious and we reign and rule with him. So it's not by accident at all. So this arrow that was the wrath of God, this is exactly what happened to Christ on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And today in Pentecost Sunday, we love to hear he gave us the power, made available. So the first thing he gave us the power to do was to live above sin. God's wrath will be poured out on our sin. Even if you're a Christian, and this may go against what you've been taught, any sin that has not been repented of and that you've not come above, there's still the wrath that must be answered to. The soul that sinneth, it surely dies. And this is why, as Christians, we have to purify our hearts, our minds, our lives in every endeavor. Otherwise, we will have to answer. And the things that we haven't conquered, we at least need to be heading the right direction and keep that under the blood. All right, that was too sermony. Okay, the brightest star in Aquila is Altair. It means the wounding. And this brightest star in the tail is Al-Okab, meaning wounded in the heel. And many of you understand that prophecy in Genesis 3 where it would bruise the heel, but the man-child would bruise the head of the serpent. In Exodus 19 and 4, so where do we get the eagle? Well, you've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, In Deuteronomy 32, 11 and 2, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, it fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there were no strange god with him. A couple of things you probably may or may not know about an eagle is the fact that an eagle is one of the greatest enemies of snakes. Also, something you may not know about an eagle is if there is no food, there have been documented cases that an eagle loves its young. It is one of the birds that takes such great care of its young that it'll actually use its powerful beak to rip itself and feed its young with its own blood. And there are documented cases of that. So it's just interesting. All right. So the third deacon in this picture is Delphinus, which is the dolphin. Now, those of you that have been offshore, or those of you that used to watch Flipper, that may date some of you. The reason we enjoy the dolphins is they break up out of the sea and they dive from water to air. And they're very vigorous and very active and very friendly creations. And so what we see is this third decon is Delphinus the dolphin in Psalms 42 and 7. So what we see is anytime you see something coming up out of the water, so to speak, he's going from burial or death to life. Deep calleth unto deep, Psalms 42 and 7. At the noise of thy water spouts, all the waves and thy billows are gone over me. So this dolphin is coming up. He's rising from the depths. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to Scripture. Now, obviously, we all understand when we were buried with Christ, we were buried in water. And then we came up. The fish came out. We went down and died one way, and then we came forth in new life, very vigorous, as the church. All right. And so the next constellation we're going to look at is the constellation of Aquarius. And of course, Aquarius means the water pourer. And today, being Pentecost Sunday, we are celebrating the living water, the Mayim Hayim, that thing that Yeshua Jesus told us in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38, when on that last day, that great day of the feast, he stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, and out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. Thus he spake of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, that they that believe on him, as the Scripture hath said, should receive. And so this whole purpose of this coming goat fish man, so to speak, was that he could restore to us the Ruach, the living water, the Spirit. There is no life without water. There is no life without water. And so there's a reason why. All right. So as you look at this picture, it's interesting because you're going to see that this water pour has its foot on a chain or a snake or something that has us bound. In John chapter 7, I already quoted that, that last day, that great day of the feast. Okay, at the time of Christ, we were in the sign of Pisces. And after 2,000 years, we're entering a new age, the age of Aquarius I've mentioned. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 through 18, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. So when we enter into the age of Aquarius, it is the one pouring out. And so what we see during the thousand-year reign of Christ, this is exactly the constellation that we will that the solar system will be moving through, the outpouring. And so even though we have received the kingdom, it's made available to us now in part during the thousand-year millennial reign. About the time we enter into the age of Aquarius, the earth will be filled with his glory, not partially as it is today. The first deacon in this constellation of Aquarius is called Piscis Australis, and it means the fish. And it is the believer being washed and filled with water. And that's interesting, isn't it? Why would this fish be being filled with water? Because it's a sign of you and I as a believer, as the fish, being filled with the living water. So as we are looking at these star signs, let's just say that, let's just for instance say that we didn't that none of this stuff I'm teaching you is true, that it was really never taught to Adam and Enoch and Seth and all these. Wow, what a coincidence that these things would be in such an order that we could even make up stuff to make it fit and then make it align with Scripture and the Word. That'd be quite a coincidence, wouldn't it? All right. So the second deacon is called Pegasus. And of course, we all understand in Greek and Roman mythology, Pegasus is the winged horse. This is the church, empowered by the Spirit, taking the message to all the world. The winged horse means fleet of foot, means fast, means able to move into a message carrier. He's coming back on a white horse, and we have been called to take the gospel to the whole world. And thank God America has done that, and we have been blessed immensely. And I believe God's blessings on this, the churches in America to this day. And I believe His blessing will stay on the churches in America until the day He takes us home. I'm not going to say it'll stay on America. I don't know that the blessings of God are on this whole nation. I'll say it like that. Okay, so this third deacon is like this. It's Cygnus, and it is the swan. It is the beautiful one. He was uncomely. There was nothing about him that would make us desire him. This is one of the most beautiful constellations. But then he becomes the fairest of 10,000. He becomes the lily of the valley. He becomes the bright and the morning star. And so out of all this death and out of all this wrath, after he comes and breaks forth through the waters and he becomes the water pour, we then begin to see this beautiful one arise that's going to end up being the victorious one. The three brightest stars of Cygnus, Deneb, the Lord or Judge to come, Azel, he who goes and returns, it's a pretty good description, and Fafaj, the glorious shining forth. So these Arabic names still to this day express and explain to us just by the names that have been handed down on these brightest stars just signify in a great way the truth of what you're learning here today. All right, so that brings us to the seventh constellation, and that is the constellation of Pisces, which is the fishes. I want you to note that they are joined together. This is two fishes, and they're joined together by a band. In Mark 1, 15 and 17, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew. You think it was a coincidence that he chose fishermen? You think it was a coincidence that the first sign was fish? I mean, here's what I'm trying to express to you. The Bible, unsearchable, unfathomable riches, is the more you learn, all of a sudden, everything is layered and compressed together, and you start seeing, wow, there's no way a man could have done this. Let's see, we've got the heavens talk about fish, we've got he calls fishermen, we've got he multiplies the fish. I mean, you just pick the subject, and all of a sudden you'll begin to see the handiwork of God in that. So, Jesus said that rather than them being fishermen, he was going to make them fishers of men. Matthew 13:47, the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea, gathered of every kind. And we are covering that in the parables. All right, so the first deacon is called the bands. You'll notice those two fishes in Pisces, they are restrained because there is a band that is intersecting and it has a hold of both their tails. But this band intersects and runs through another deacon or another star sign called Cetus, and it is the sea monster. And this is exactly the seven-headed beast, so to speak, that lives in the sea. What's his job? To restrain the church, to put in bondage again that has been given new life out of the death of a goat. Does that make sense? And another juncture in this band that star sign, another juncture of this band, this restraining thing that runs through the sea monster, is in the foreleg of Aries, which is the ram or the lamb. So what we're seeing now is the war between Christ, our King, and the power of darkness, that great dragon, the one that's come to consume the church. And they are both stepping on this band that has the fishes bound. And this is why in the pre-sermon this morning, I mentioned to you that what a privilege it is that you have overcome the wicked one, that you've overcome. And let me just tell you, you will never, ever quit growing in Christ. The more you grow in spiritual war, you're going to have to go through being lied on. You're going to have to go through people kicking your reputation. You're going to have to go through brothers and sisters. You've got to be wounded in the house of your friends. You're going to have to go through every temptation. You're going to have to learn yourself. I'm going to say this on the tape real quick. God did not give us prayer to do anything other than for us first to know thy own self. And if you're praying for churches or people or things, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. But if you have yet to get your personality under control, or get your human emotions in check, or your neediness has not come to be fulfilled by Christ, then what prayer is to do is to illuminate your mind that you can look in the mirror of God and that you become mature to where your life brings forth something that, when people see the truth of it, speaks of something sound. And the thing that's probably hurt more wannabe Christians that no longer go to church is because of the immaturity that's in the church. People that can never work on themselves that are busybodies trying to work on other things. Does that make any sense? And so what we're seeing is that this great war that's taking place, these bands, the first thing that every minister wants to see is, don't follow me. I'm still trying to be perfected. But we are trying to break loose from this restraining force that we can grow into the image of Christ. And as we move through that, God... Anyway, that's another lesson. All right, so this band intersects. So which one are we bound to? The second deacon in Pisces is Andromeda, which is the man ruler, or the chained woman. So what we're seeing now is we have now moved toward the picture of what the dying one came to do, that he came to bring forth the fishes, so to speak, and the new life that broke forth. But now we see this enemy that's trying to chain the woman. We see this enemy that's trying to bind the fish, because we have an enemy. And if you don't realize you have an enemy, the truth of the matter is, a lot of us, when we're truly born again, our lives just end up in utter despair for quite some time. And you've got to understand that the reason that you end up in utter despair is because, as un-American as this is going to sound, when you were serving the world, the enemy and the god of the world left you alone. But when you finally make that turn, you now have become an enemy of the world. Love not the world nor the things of the world, or the love of the Father is not in you. And when you turn, then what happens is the wrath of your ex-taskmaster, Pharaoh, comes after you. And it didn't stop at the Red Sea. It just changed forms, because there were still all these enemies and battles to fight in the Promised Land. And so this is a picture of the heavenly story, that the woman, which is the bride of Christ, so to speak, even though she's seated, she's chained. We have been seated in heavenly places. But the enemy of our soul is trying to chain us that we can't rise and be what we're supposed to be. So one of the fishes is headed right for this woman. And I've already told you the galaxy that's moving towards us at 160 miles per second. The size of our galaxy is the Milky Way. The third deacon is Cepheus. And this is the royal branch, or the king, the crown king. Now, we know that in the first star sign, which was Virgo, behold, a virgin shall conceive, that she had a branch in her hand. We cover that in lesson one. He is the branch. But this Cepheus, the royal branch, or the king, the crown king, his foot's upon the pole star, which is the central point of our galaxy. Now, those of you that have ever used a sextant or learn how to navigate as a pilot of a plane or a ship, in case we would lose navigational equipment, this is the star that's the center of our galaxy. It's the brightest star. The brightest star is in the shoulder of this crown king, Cepheus, and it's Derriman, and it means coming quickly. And the second brightest star is in the midriff, is Alphurk, which means the Redeemer. So still to this day, these ancient names for these stars point out the beauty in these constellations. That's going to bring us, and I'll try to cover it very quickly, into the eighth constellation, which is Aries the Lamb. In Revelations 5 and 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood of out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And so once again, this eighth constellation is the Lamb or the Ram, and that's pretty easy. Now, what's interesting is that the sea monster, one of the paws of this Ram or Lamb is on the sea monster. And the other one, as I've already mentioned, is on the band of the fishes. Those of you may remember the story of the Golden Fleece. Jason and the Agronauts go after a horrible monster that has the fleece, but Jason receives the fleece, making him heir to the throne. That's not Jason. That was just a changing of Jesus to a Roman mythological figure or a Greek mythological figure. And so you can see how even when you look at mythology, those that have books on mythology, and you begin to just change a few names, all of a sudden these stories begin to appear. And that God has given man, of course, the God of this world has stolen. The first deacon in this star sign is Cassiopeia, and that is the enthroned woman. And here she's fixing her hair and preparing her robe. Why? Because we're approaching the marriage time. She is preparing to meet the groom. The second deacon is Cepheus, the sea monster. And the three brightest stars are Diphtha, which means the overthrown, Mira, the rebel, and Menkar, the chained enemy. And so what we are looking at now is we are looking at this victorious one that was born of a virgin, has been slain, has come forth with new life, and now he is moving towards the victory, the final victory over the serpent, so to speak. The third deacon is Perseus, which means the breaker. If you study the story of Perseus in Greek mythology, it's pretty interesting. Here's this warrior with a sword. And that we will close right there. And I hope that you are seeing the glory of God expressed in the heavens. And we will take up lesson 3 on the next